We are talking today about a renewed obedience along with our theme of renew. As God has given us a vision to pursue Him and His passion for people, we are focusing this year on the theme of renew, how we so desperately need to be renewed in a way that only God can do for you and I and our families and our community. We're taking a short journey through the Sermon on the Mount. That is Jesus's probably one of the most famous sermons that he ever gave 2,000 years ago in Israel. And we are still being impacted by this teaching. We're going to look at Matthew 5, 17 to 20. And I'll go ahead and read that for us. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. And these are the very words spoken by Jesus. And we are excited to hear that. Thank you, my friend. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands we call great in the kingdom of heaven. And the last verse, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is God's word. Very simply, this morning, I want to share three things with you. Always 3 points. Why do pastors always have to? It just happens like three things with you this morning. First of all, Jesus cares a lot about our obedience to Him and His words, what we call the Scriptures. I think in the Christian church, because we often focus a lot on God's love and grace, when we hear the word law or commands, we kind of cringe, and we immediately think law is bad. Obeying commandments are bad. We live in grace and forgiveness. It's not about the law, but that is not correct. That is not correct. Jesus opened up our passage in verse 17. Listen, do not think I, Jesus, have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The law is very important. Obeying God is very important, so important that Jesus said he came to fulfill it, to live it out, to accomplish it, and not even the smallest dot will disappear from God's word. All of it will be accomplished. Obeying Him and His word is extremely important for our lives. And so I wanted to begin with that of how important and how beautiful the law is. And so that is my first point. This sanctuary was not set up correctly. Communion, so that table needs to be here and the elements. Austin, Evan, what are you guys doing? You guys need to set that up a little bit better. Come on. Chop, chop, come on. Let's move this and get it ready. Evan, Excuse me? I think you forgot the chalice too. Chop, chop. Come on. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. What did you just witness? You witnessed the second thing I wanted to share this morning, which is this. Jesus, the outside and the inside. I just asked Austin and Evan to properly set up the table for communion. They did it on the outside. It's done. But you heard their inner grumblings of their heart. The thing about obedience that Jesus is trying to communicate to us is it's not just about following the rules on the outside, but Jesus cares about how we joyfully follow the rules on the inside as well. That is what he calls true righteousness. And that is what he desires from each and every one of us. And you know what? It's often easy to do on the outside what you're supposed to do without your heart obeying on the inside. And so Jesus is trying to let us know what is true obedience. It is the actions of our lives to obey him and his word because he's the king. But it is also an inner joy and delight of wanting to also obey from the depths of your heart and being. Both are necessary in the eyes of God. Thirdly and finally, Jesus says that it is his love that is the reason for obedience. Obedience is not done so that we can be successful in life. Obedience to God is not done so that we can feel better about ourselves. Obedience is not done so that those who aren't obeying God's commands, that we're able to look down on them and puff ourselves up in pride and saying, I'm better than those people because I'm doing this and they are not. No. Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount and in the Beatitudes that we briefly looked at last Sunday that it is his love that motivates us to want to obey with our actions and our heart. For instance, my wife and I will, in a few months, get ready to celebrate a very important event for our lives. It is our wedding anniversary. Now imagine it's the anniversary night to remember our vows and promises and the beautiful wedding that we had quite a few years ago. I hire babysitters. I book a table at the best restaurant in town, Chick-fil-A. I have flowers sent ahead at the corner table near the playscape at Chick-fil-A. I have a Chick-fil-A card ready. I have chocolate shaped like chickens at the table waiting, and my wife, Kathy, will be floored in more ways than one. Honey, why did you do this for me? If my answer is, well, I'm supposed to do this. Or, isn't this the right thing to do so I don't end up sleeping on the couch tonight? Oh, well, honey, it's that time of year again, is it not? At least I booked at a Chick-fil-A. Come on. Well, I did it because I want to be able to post a nice picture on social media so everyone knows what a romantic husband I am to celebrate at Chick-fil-A. No. That's messed up. I would do a Chick-fil-A wedding celebration anniversary party with my honey because I love her. Not because I'm supposed to, or I don't want to feel guilty, or I don't want to be in the doghouse or sleep on the couch or be a bad husband. Because I love her. Jesus says that we want to obey because we have experienced his love in the depths of our heart and being. Once you experience God's love and forgiveness and grace in your life, when you invite him in and you surrender your life to him as a true king, as your savior, as your friend, you are never the same again. Love to Christ for what he has done for you and I, whether you are 2 years old or approaching 90 or 100, is why we want to obey. That is the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Sinclair Ferguson says this, and I'll end with this, because God has given us a new heart committed to him and his ways, we want to obey. That is often one of the first discoveries a new Christian makes. Jesus, because what he has done for us in his beautiful, perfect, sinless, righteous life, and the brutal, unbelievable, spectacularly horrific death on a Roman cross for you and I. When we understand those things and surrender our lives to him as Lord and King, the rest of our lives, because now he comes to live in our hearts, gives us the motivation, the strength, and the empowerment to want to obey. That is the difference when we come to know Jesus in our lives. We want to obey because of his love for you and I. Do you know if that's love? Have you forgotten this love? Be reminded as the sermon continues, as we celebrate his love, his life, his death on a Roman cross. Be reminded of his love as we celebrate communion, and be renewed in your inner being to want to obey, not because you don't want to feel guilty anymore or shame, because you love him. And you don't want to break the heart of God. You want to make him joyful and to delight in you. And in doing that, you will find your joy and your greatest delight.